Welcome to each of you. We do indeed. We thank God. We thank God. We're going to be considering that which we just saw animated. So turn to Luke chapter 2 as we kind of dig into the Christmas story once again. Do you need a Bible to study with us? If so, just raise your hand. The ushers are walking down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible. You'll want to make sure and have one. If not, we'd count it a privilege to give you one. And if you need to keep, it's all yours, of course. They also have pencils for keeping notes if you should choose to do that, but get a Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. While the Bibles are being passed out, let me just say this because this day can be rushed and we're all going to be out of here probably off to join family and friends or whatever the day holds. Let me just take a moment and express to you that Kathy and I want to make sure and let you know that we truly do appreciate you. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for your love you've shown us. We thank God for the prayers that you lifted up for us. Again, we thank God for you. And so on behalf of Kathy and I and the whole staff here at Calvary Chapel, we just want you to know that we pray that you'll have an awesome and blessed Christmas. And let's just travel together. Let's just keep traveling together in the Lord. But we do thank God. We thank God for each of you. Well, you got your Christmas shopping done? I see some heads going like that. Uh-oh. You know, it's that kind of season, of course, where we get rushing around and worried about shopping and the meals and did I get everybody covered and did I forget that and everything else. And but it's so important, and I'm blessed that you would take the time to step aside from all that and to remember what it's really all about. And so again, we just welcome each of you here. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to consider that which we just saw depicted in the animation. We'll read about it in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there was born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Well, it's probably one of the best known passages of Scripture that there is. And we're kind of bombarded with it at this time of year. And so for most here, if anything, we're in danger of taking this for granted. But think what it was like for those who were going through it on that first night. Think what it would be like for the shepherds and everybody involved in this. Being a part of it has unfolded. Again, we know the beginning, the middle, and the end, and so it's possible we can kind of take it for granted. But let's resist that. And let's really consider what this is telling us. I wonder this morning what God would want to say to you through the good story. Though it be old, and yet so fresh and new and true, I wonder what God might want to say to you, to maybe shake you out of some lethargy about it, to maybe help you consider anew the gift that you've been given that surpasses all other gifts. I wonder what God might want to say to you. I pray that we've all come with that kind of attitude, that kind of heart. God, what would you have me consider this morning about Christmas? I invite you. I invite you to once again consider the greatest gift ever given. Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I draw your attention to the first part of that verse. this whole giving thing that Christmas is really about. A gift, it says. See, on our side, it's a child is born. But from heaven's side, it's a son is given. Why? Why this wonderful gift? Why would God the Father send His Son to go through all that He had to go through? Why would He do that? Well, it's probably none of those well-known verses, but sums it up. Why is there a Christmas? Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved. Do you notice the word send? God did not send. And so the idea here in these verses that I'm beginning with here is that there is a gift given. There is a son sent, a child born. But it will require a response. A gift is not a gift unless it's received and opened. And so from God's side, this wonderful gift. That's really the best summary there is of why there's a Christmas, because God so loved us. The motive, the reason for Christmas is love, God's love for us. Not our love for Him. Christmas wasn't motivated by the Son didn't come because we had some warm, great love for Him. It's while we were yet sinners that He sent His Son. And it's not so we could have a day off from work. It's not so we could have an occasion for warm, fuzzy feelings, but rather because there was a need. And it was motivated by God's love toward us. 1 John 4:9-10. In this the love of God was manifested, revealed toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. Again, the word sent, twice here and once in the last time verses. Continually that idea of sent. Herein is love, it says, not that we love Him. Now, He wants our love. But He says, you want to see love. You want to know what love is? Herein is love, that God would send His Son. And that's what Christmas is about. The sending of His Son for us to be the payment. We needed something done for us that we couldn't do. We needed a gift that no money could buy. I mean, you talk about shopping for someone. What am I going to get them? Well, they already got that. Well, there was something that nobody had, and yet nobody could get on their own. And no other person could get for you. Only God could give it. And so He sent His Son. Now, see, we're used to that, aren't we? Whoops, let me go back one. We're used to that, and we kind of go, well, yeah, cool. I pray that it's fresh and anew this morning. Corrie Ten Boom was a woman who lived through World War II, and she and her family hid the Jews from the Nazis. Well, eventually they were captured and put in a prison camp and all, and she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. Good stuff, you might want to see that, or the movie made from it. Well, she said this right here. She said, who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is that He gave His only Son. The only requirement is to believe in Him. The reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life. And there it is. That's what it's all about. Everything else should be about that and celebrating it. We give gifts to one another. Hopefully it's to celebrate the greatest gift ever given. But that is what Christmas is about right there. Truly Jesus is the reason for the season. This morning I'm going to invite you to take a little trip with me. We're going to go back in time. I invite you, let's take a trip to that little village of Bethlehem again. Oh, I know you've read about it and thought about it a lot, but we're going to go back once again. And I pray it'll hit us in a fresh way. What happened there on that night in that place? We're going to make the journey that the shepherds made. You see, they made a journey to see a little baby. More than that, of course. They made a journey to see the Savior. But what started out as a journey to see a baby ended up as a journey of worship. A journey of joy. Has it had that effect upon you? If not, I pray that by the time we're done, it will. How does God find you responding to the greatest gift ever? This morning, I've called our time Good Tidings of Great Joy. Let's pray. Father, now that we've reached this point, you've drawn us together in this place, I pray you lift off the distractions. Help us to not be thinking about gifts and food and the pressures of finances and everything else that can get on top of us. But Lord, lift those things off. And Lord, help us to once again make that journey and to really consider what you've done and our need to receive it, to live in it, to rejoice about it. Lord, by your Spirit now, move amongst us. Move within us. Move us past just the idea of a holiday. Help us see what a holy day it is. So Lord, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's take the journey. Luke chapter 2. Let's go back to the beginning now. We haven't read this yet. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I invite you to think about this for a moment. Again, go back and think about it unfolding. Think about who's lying there. Think about where he's lying. What is a manger? Well, most of us know, we've seen the little nativity scenes in stores and probably in your home and all. But think about what it was. We've kind of sanitized it in a way. But think about it. There was no room in the inn, so they went into a stall, a place where the animals were. Probably more like a cave would be a better way to put it. And she gave birth there amongst the hay and the animals and all everything else that was there. And they laid him in a feeding trough. A manger is a feeding trough. And so they wrapped him in these cloths and just set him there in this feeding trough. Now what's remarkable about that, if you think about it, is who he is. Who it is that's lying there? It's Jesus. Now think about that. God came here as a baby. Not into a fancy palace, but a stable. And make sure we understand that indeed, that is God lying there. Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. Let me pause right there in the middle of those couple of verses for a moment, just to think about that part of it. God, it says, he was equal to God the Father. This is God the Son. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. He put aside all that, and he came in the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. You see, in a lot of ways, you and I can't really understand that. We don't really understand what that must have been like. I mean, here's God the Son existing from eternity past, even that we really can't take in, existing with God the Father and God the Spirit, and all the things that being God is about, all powerful, all knowing, just everything. But then as part of God's plan and love for us, coming down, just think of it, God funneled down into a little baby. Think about what that would... See, we can't understand what that would be like to lay all that aside and come down and be planted there in the womb and be born as a little baby. Think about that. The best you can, take in that whole truth. It's kind of like a diver. Maybe a deep sea diver or a person who dives for pearls or something. He gets on the edge of the boat, takes one last deep breath, and down he plunges into the ocean. At first, he's near the surface, so the water's warmer and there's light. But he's going deep if he's going to get the treasure he's after. So he swims down deeper and deeper where it's getting darker and darker and colder and colder. But not only down now to those depths, but he's got to get down into the mud and the ooze and the slime. And he gets down there and he digs for his treasure, be it an oyster with a pearl or whatever example we're using here, however you want to think of it. But he has to dig through all that. And there it is. And he gets it. And now he begins his ascent again. He pushes pedal, he's swimming like crazy. He breaks through the surface, taking a deep breath again. That's what God did for us. He dove down into this dark, cold, sin-soaked, flesh-ravaged world for us. We were that pearl. We're that object of great prize. And just as the diver would come up to the surface and break the surface and go, I got it. That's what God declares about us. If you have received, it's for you. He became a baby. How awesome that is. And then it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. See, here's an important thing. The manger isn't the end of the story. The manger was simply the first stop on the way to the cross. You can't separate the two. Well, look at verses 8 and 9 now. Now there were in the same country shepherds, so we're going to join the shepherds now, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I can understand how they might be afraid. Can you blame them? Not your everyday occurrence. They're out there, maybe talking, keeping warm by the fire or something, watching the sheep, and all of a sudden here comes an angel. I mean, I'm sure they didn't go, oh, look, an angel. Oh, well. Anyway, like I was telling you, I mean, you got to believe their mouths are open. Their knees are knocking. What is this about? See, we're used to the story, but think about it. Why shepherds? It doesn't tell us why. Oh, there's been some great things written about it, perhaps because Jesus, of course, is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and there's all kind of parallels, but it doesn't tell us exactly why. But it is great to consider that God chose to announce his arrival not to the rich, not to the famous, but to really these lowly shepherds out in the field. He came to everyday people doing everyday things. And that's how he comes to us, isn't it? To everyday people doing everyday things. And he breaks in and he says, what are you going to do about it? How will you respond to this good tidings of great joy? It shows us that he's for everybody. You know, God made sure that there were worshipers there that night. May it be so now. Just as it was then, may the Lord find us as those who worship him for the greatest gift ever given. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Look at verse 11. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Born to you a Savior. Christ, Lord. In the Greek, there are no articles there. It says Savior, Christ, Lord. And that is the central point around which everything else hinges here. And notice, it is specific. It is a specific declaration. It's specific on both sides of the equation. There was born unto you a Savior, Christ the Lord. Jesus is the Savior, not just one of many, the Savior. And notice how God does this. He doesn't say, well, I have some good news for you. I've sent a religious, philosophical system of theoretical beliefs and eschatological ramifications. He doesn't do that. He says, I've come for you. See, it's specific on both sides. It's for you. Make sure you hear that this morning. It's for the Jew and for the Palestinian. It's for the rich and the poor. It's for me and it's for you. I bring you good tidings, he says, of great joy. I bring you. The Lord came humbly, meekly, and he came personally. He came. He did. Didn't send a representative. He came for you and me. Good tidings of great joy to a world that needs both really, really bad. Man would not have set things up this way. We would have God come in some spectacular, sensational, attention-getting manner that the 6 o'clock news would have all over it. If God had come to you and said, okay, I'm going to make my entrance. How should we do this? We would say, oh, here's what's going to happen. Boy, we're just going to, you know, and we'd come up with we probably wouldn't say, well, God, I think what we should do is be a little baby. See, God designed this, not man. This is his way of doing it. But I like what one commentator said. He said, the great God emptied himself. He let in the light as our eyes were able to bear it. If God all of a sudden just stepped up and said, boom, here I am, you and I would be, boom, not here. So he said, he took it easy on us, so to speak, and he came as a baby. He let in the light, he says, as we were able to bear it. I like that approach. I like that idea. But that's how he chose to come. And what a choir the shepherds heard that night. An army of angels, it says, proclaiming this good news. Read again what they declare in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Two parts to the angels' song, to their anthem. The first part, glory to God in the highest. Not glory to man. None of this is a result of man's efforts. All glory to God in it. Again, it's God who designed all this. It's him reaching down to you. So glory to him for it. Now think of the angels watching this as it happened. There's God the Son, and all of a sudden they watch as he becomes a baby. Now they're dispatched to go declare about it. What's the first things out of their mouth? Glory to God. What do we do? Oh, yeah, it's Christmas. Yeah. Boy, I hope I get to the mall in time. The angels are going, glory to God in the highest. We should join the anthem. Secondly, they declare on earth peace, goodwill towards men. There's been some discussion, of course, among commentators as to how the Greek here should be translated. Some would have this read, to men of goodwill. Others say it should be translated to men to whom God is pleased with. I don't know. All I know is this. If you do indeed receive Jesus as Savior, peace will enter your heart. You will be at peace with God. No more an enemy, no more distant, but you'll be at peace with him. The coming of Jesus ushers in peace into every heart that will surrender to him. Now I'm drawn to verse 11. Look back again. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the angel declares that this news, back in verse 10, he says it's good tidings of great joy. How I'm struck with those verses, verses 10, 11 there. I'm struck with a great sense of joy. And I hope you are too. I'm not sure looking at you if you are. Hard to tell. You're being good listeners. You're staring. I don't see a lot of smiles necessarily, but you're taking it in. I give you credit for that. But does it produce a joy that makes you want to shout and sing and tell others? It did in them and it should in us. Think about it. No, not just the joy to be amongst family and friends. That's awesome. But in particular, that joy of what God is doing in our lives. The joy of Jesus. Eternal life. Relationship with him and all that that brings. Think of it. There is born to us a Savior. Now, that statement implies what? We need saving. You talk about a gift that you really need. You open a gift. Oh, I really wanted that. Or I really needed that. Here's a gift that you definitely, positively needed. A Savior. Because we needed saving. And again, we couldn't do it for ourselves. We couldn't purchase that gift. So even in this announcement, there is the shadow of the mission that Jesus is upon. This baby is destined for the cross. So the shadow of the cross is cast even across the manger. You cannot separate the manger from the cross. Jesus came for the purpose of forgiving our sins for all who receive what He did on the cross. You must do that. If you don't receive Jesus personally, then He's a gift left unopened, and it will do you no good. And you'll miss the real purpose for Christmas. Charlotte Carpenter said, "Christmas is the gift from heaven of God's Son given for free. If Christmas isn't found in your heart, you won't find it under the tree." You don't look around, you got to look up. And you got to receive what it's really all about. I'm not telling you got to go to church, dress right, all those kinds of things. You don't work your way there. You receive the gift, but you got to take it. Open it. That means open your heart to Him. Surrender to Him. That's the key ingredient. Verse 15 to the end of this paragraph. "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." The coming of Jesus into this world sets before every person a decision. What will we do about it? To receive God's gift is the pivotal point for all of mankind. You don't automatically receive Him. He's extended, it's held out for you, but you must respond. Don't let God's gift to you go unopened. But believer, if you have received, then what do you do about it? Don't let it be the gift that's been opened but goes unused, so to speak. Don't let it be the gift like that sweater you got that you said, "Gee, thanks." You put it in on the closet. You always look at it and go, "Ugh." Don't put Jesus on the shelf. He's not fire insurance. He's God, and He wants a relationship. This is for us so we can know Him and all that that brings into our lives. It says here, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Christians are supposed to be marked with great joy. Are you? Again, that's the challenge this morning. Now, of course, when I say Christmas should bring into our lives great joy, and that we should have great joy, that means tomorrow on Christmas, you should have great joy. But of course, we all know come Tuesday, we're allowed to just go back to being our grumpy old self. Worried and fretful and anxious and acting as if it never happened. No. It's just as true every single day. So it should find us celebrating the good news which prompts great joy. Let me ask you. As the shepherds left the manger, what does it tell us that they did? It's in verse 20. What did the shepherds do when they left? It tells us they what? Verse 20. Glorifying, they returned glorifying and praising God. How will you leave here today? How will you make your way through your life? Will you be one who's glorifying and praising God? That He's given that which, if you receive it, has changed eternity, changed your destiny, can never be taken away from you. Think of it. If we didn't have this gift, didn't know anything about it, and all of a sudden God spoke out today and extended it, we'd be on our knees. And we'd be jumping and shouting, and we'd be so excited telling everybody, there's a gift, there's eternal life, there's forgiveness, there's purpose, there's meaning, there's hope. But we get used to it. What was the reason for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them? Do you have any less reason? God has told you and shown you awesome things. And you have His Word. Has the Son been given to us? Yes, just as much as them. Has a Savior come for us? Yes. Even someone like me. Then we should do as the shepherds did. Pastor Dale, sounds really great and everything, but you got to understand, Dale, I got problems. And yeah, Christmas is nice, but I got problems. They're going to be here come Tuesday. What am I supposed to do? I've got some heavy-duty problems. I'm not making light of your problems. And I'm not saying they're easy or fun to go through. But don't you think the shepherds had problems? Well, yeah, maybe a few, but not like me. Hey, in this world, you'll have tribulation. And that's everybody. And we go through financial pressures. We go through relationship issues. We have health problems. Oh, you better, they probably had more of them than we did. Think of it, though. They had all those things just like us. So what happened? They got their perspective changed about life that night. You see, the answer for our trials, the one who forgives sins, the one who sees us through the trial, the one who gives me hope and peace when the world will want to take it away, when the seas are choppy, the one who calms me or calms the sea, the one who does all that, the one I find my refuge in the storm from, the one, well, be of good cheer, like he says, because I've overcome the world. You have tribulation. So what are we saying? Not that you want to have those things, but he that's greater, he that sustains, he that strengthens, he's come. And so the call is to celebrate. Not as if we don't have problems, but in spite of them. Because the big issues, the eternal issues, are settled. I invite you. He says, do not be afraid, the angel said, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I invite you, celebrate Jesus. Respond to him in worship and praise, adoration. And may there be joy. No, not joy. Great joy. In all of us. Keep focused on what it's about. Let's pray. Father, as we in this time, in this place, together now turn our hearts and our minds upon you, the love that you have, the love that motivates you to give the best gift ever, the gift that we need to receive. Lord, I pray you would challenge our hearts, speak to us about it. Truly, may it be fresh right now. Lord, for that one who's just wishing this time to be over so they can get about their thing, may they understand. Quicken right now, Lord. Stir them up. Draw the attention of every heart to what this is all about. Father, move amongst us now and stir us, we pray. While all our heads are bowed, I want to give you the invitation to open the gift. I address those of you who've never received Christ as Savior. The rest of you, if you have, then just be giving him praise in your heart quietly and thinking about the difference he's made and what this whole thing is all about. But if you've never received Christ as Savior, you understand that you're a sinner. He declares you are. We all are. But that he sent his Son to purchase you and he died on the cross. If you want to ask him to forgive you, to let that payment be applied to you, we're saying if you want to open the gift of Jesus, then I invite you to raise your hand right now where you are. It's kind of dark, so I have to raise it high, but I would be remiss as a pastor to talk about it but not give you the opportunity to open it. Is there anybody here that would want to receive Jesus for the first time as Savior? Awesome. Okay, if you raise your hand, then just a moment I'm going to ask you to come down front because we want to pray with you about it. But I also make a second invitation now while our heads are bowed. Perhaps you do know the Lord. You receive that present of forgiveness of sin, but truth be told, in terms of the relationship it was meant to bring you, you put it in the closet. It's in the back seat, so to speak. It's in the trunk, and you're still in the driver's seat, and you know it. But he stirred you to come to church this morning. And you knew in coming you'd probably hear a Christmas message because down deep you know you need it. You need to get back. It's time to come back, prodigal. It's time to once again walk in the fellowship he designed Christmas to usher into your life. Is there anybody here that knows him but you know it's time to come back? It's time to repent and come home again. Raise your hand so I can see your hand. Again, it's kind of dark. I'm looking out. So raise it high. Is there anybody that would want to make that decision? Great. Okay, here's what's going to happen. If you raised your hand to either one of those invitations, then I invite you right now. Please come up front and allow me to pray for you. Worship team, go ahead and come on up front and join us. But please, if you raised your hand, come on down front. I know there's a couple of you. I'm not going to come twist you by the arm. I might call someone else to do that, but no. But I'm wondering, is there anybody else? Is there anybody else that you're coming back to him, or this is the first time? Either way, come on down front. Rudy, if you grab some prayer partners and be a part of those who have come down front here. Is there anybody else? I'll be up front. I thought I saw another hand right back over there. I know it's hard, but believe me, you'll be glad. Your friends will rejoice with you about it. Is there anybody else? Anybody that wants to, either you know him, but it's time to come back on this Christmas occasion, or you don't know him at all, and you want to accept him as Savior. Well, if you're kind of embarrassed to do that, please know that he sees you wherever you are, but we encourage you to get prayer about it. Come find a prayer partner afterwards. Let him know that you want prayer towards that end. Which of you that have come down front, which of you are here to receive Christ for the first time? Is there anybody who's never received Jesus right here? Is there anybody else that's... Okay, great. Well, I'm going to lead you in a little bit of prayer here, okay? And I want you to repeat after me, okay? What's your name?
Bridget.
Okay. All these people love you. I know it might be kind of embarrassing or feel kind of hard, but it's the best decision you've ever made, Bridget. And so if you just repeat after me. Heavenly Father. Thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you for sending Jesus.
To die for my sins.
To die for my sins.
I confess I'm a sinner.
I confess I am a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Write my name in your book of life.
Write my name in your book of life.
I'm yours now.
I am yours now.
I'm going to follow you from here on.
I'm going to follow you from now on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. For those of you who've come down front responding to the invitation to get back, let me pray for you. Lord, for those who, they know you, but they're openly confessing that you haven't had that place in their lives that you want to have, and it's the best. Lord, I suspect if you haven't been there, Lord, I know then, and they've probably been getting beat up, and there's been some emptiness and a lack of peace. So, Lord, I pray for each one that's come down front. Lord, they're down front to declare that they're back. They're home with you. They've climbed out of the pig pen of the world like the prodigal, and they've come home to you now. Lord, wrap each one up in your love. Remind them it's not something they got to earn it or anything like that, but just in the coming back, in the crying out, saying, forgive me, that you do. So Lord, we pray this will be a day of fresh start. That they'll remember this day as the day that they, in a fresh and new way, surrendered all to you. Oh Lord, work in them that fresh work of your Spirit and work through them. May they go out of here just resting in that fact now that they're forgiven and your plan, your plan's still going on. You still got a place for them. Something you want to do in them and through them. Lord, bless them on this day of renewal to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.